Dennis Garden. I've been a member of this church since 1967, I think, something like that. Kathy's been here longer than I have. She always tells me that she's just, now she's not older than me, I know that. But I was saved when I was 11, which would have been 64, in 1964. Don't want to get 1864. But it was basically from Bible school, the year I got saved, it would have been from Bible school and camp. And it was just after all that, I was going to Chestnut Ridge Church. And most of you probably know where Chestnut Ridge Church is at. Well, it wasn't the church that's there now. It was the old church. But it was Bible school was one of my favorite things. And I hate school. Oh, I'm not supposed to say I hate school. I dislike school very much. I dislike school. I don't care about school now. It don't bother me. But I love Bible school. We used to have Bible school in the old Chestnut Ridge School, and it was an all-day affair, and it was a great thing. And I loved going to camp when I was in going to Chestnut Ridge when I was that age. And thanks to some of the people that was quite an influence on me, which one of them was Anna Branson. She used to do Bible school down there every year, and she is a superwoman. She was very good at that. And the bad part is most of my church learning was by women. Because that, when there was a lot of ladies that went to Chestnut Ridge Church that you very seldom seen their husbands. But they was some of the greatest influences I ever had in my life. But like I said, I've been a Christian since 1964. I've backslidden a couple hundred miles, and I feel like I pretty well follow a pretty straight path, thanks to that lady sitting back there, that little dark-haired lady. And I've had her for a long time, too. 46 years, the 23rd of this month. That's for you. I know that ain't for me. That's for you. But what I want to talk about tonight is responsible Christian living. And if any of you has ever started a new job or got a promotion or an advancement, and then all of a sudden you figure out that how many responsibilities you have to go with that job that they didn't tell you about ahead of time. Well, that can happen in your Christian life if you're not trained as you go along. You can get overwhelmed really easy. But sometimes that we're not truly informed regarding decisions we make, only to find out later that we've committed ourselves to stuff that we really can't handle. And I got an illustration here. Is 10% of church members cannot be found. 20% of church members never attend church. I can't even read my writing. 25% admit they never pray. 35% admit that they do not read their Bible. 40% admit that they never contribute to the church in tithes or offering. 60% never give to missions. 70% never assume responsibility within the church. And I buy that one. 85% never invite anyone to church. 95% have never won anyone to Christ. But 100% expect to go to heaven. And, that's one of those things. There's going to be one day that some of those people are going to have what they call a rude awakening. And, you know, it's, you try to tell them, but sometimes, you know, that's kind of, one that comes to mind is the Stephen Hawking that died a while back. And just, you know, the stuff that he always came up with, and I thought to myself, well, I didn't really, I kind of said it out loud, but, you know, when he died, I thought, well, now he knows the real answer. He's got some answers now. I always hope and pray that, you know, something happened before he took that last breath, but if not, he's finding out he wasn't quite right on things. But we need to understand that the Christian life is a life of responsibility. We've got a lot of responsibility with in our everyday lives, just the way we do things each and every day, the way we act, which that's one of the things that I have struggled with all my life, is I have a tendency to overact sometimes. That's a polite way to say it. But regardless of how much you understand, when you receive Christ as Lord and Savior, your relationship with Him brings inescapable responsibilities to your life. Therefore, it is important that we recognize and carry out these responsibilities that are ours. Scripture text we're going to read here in just a moment speaks of at least four responsibilities we have as Christians. I have to write a lot of this stuff down or I can't ever remember nothing. As Christians, we are responsible for living out a clear, positive testimony of the grace of God. And there's a story here. There was a story that was in with this when I was studying. It was an older lady named Julie Mae Brown. She was up in years. She couldn't hardly hear. She couldn't hardly see. But she still wanted to come to church. So the deacon of the week had to go pick her up. Well, the one week she overslept a little bit, and it was the chairman of the deacons. It wasn't you, Carl. I don't think it's that story's about you. But went by to pick her up. Well, she wasn't quite ready, so ended up making him late for church. And he got a little flustered, and one of the Sunday schools that classes at church was in session, and they heard the deacon come sliding into his parking spot, gravel sliding, flying everywhere, and they could hear him talking to her, and he said, "Julie May, why do you come to church? What do you get out of church? You can't hear, you can't see. You know, why do you come to church?" And they couldn't hear her answer, but they figured, boy, after church, we're going to have to talk to the deacon and see what happened, you know. So when they went out into church, the deacon was coming. We'll just call him Carl. Carl was coming in the back door and had Julie May by the arm, and he was crying. And they thought, wow, man, I've never seen that gruff old deacon cry. So they thought, well, after church, we're going to ask him just what happened. And so they, after church was over, they made sure and caught up with Carl and asked him, said, you know, we could hear the question you asked Julie May, but we couldn't hear the answer. And he said, well, he said, I asked her that. I said, why do you come? You can't hear and you can't see. Why do you work so hard to come to church? And she said, because I want everybody to know who I belong to. And I mean, you know, that was enough to make Carl cry. And that raises a question: who do we belong to? Is it obvious to the people we meet every day? Is it obvious to our family? Is it obvious to the people we work with? And you don't have to answer none of these, because I'm not going to. All right, I'm going to be reading from Mark 4:21-25, and you'll find out why I didn't pay a lot of attention in school when it was time to learn to read. But I'm still working on it. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not bought to be put under a basket. Is it, or under a bed? Is it not bought to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it will come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care of what you listen to. By your standard of measurement, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has to him, more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Christians have been born again, saved, transformed by the grace of God, apart from any personal merit. When you publicly profess faith in Christ, like it or not, you're inviting others to examine your life to learn what it means to be a Christian. Whew, man, it's hot in here. The world is looking at you. Yeah, I feel like the world's looking at me. The world is looking at you to see every little detail, and they may discover every flaw and every defect that they may use to justify their own behavior or declare us to be hypocrites, fake, which gives them an excuse not to become a part of the church. And an example they used there was Charles Barkley, which most people know who Charles Barkley is. But when he came into the NBA, people were kind of disgusted with the way he acted on the court, off the court. He was just acted pretty ignorant. And they told him he needed to tone it down. His remarks was, I didn't sign up to be a role model for anybody. I'm a basketball player. But they informed him, well, yes, you signed a contract with the NBA. So when you signed that contract, you became a role model whether you like it or not. And the same is true for us who call ourselves Christians, because once we decide to follow Christ, people are watching whether or not we think it's fair. God expects us to live such a life before others that it would lead them to glorify Him. That is a very solemn responsibility. We are also responsible for not having a dark side, which could be discovered and bring harm to our witness. And it's talking about how often anymore. You know, it seems like it goes in spurts, but it just, there's a lot of times there's people high in churches and stuff that end up, they have a dark side. They have their a drug problem. They have extramarital affairs. They have different things that basically, when they do that, it shines on all of us. Anybody that calls herself a Christian or is a Christian. I mean, there's a lot of people that call ourselves Christians, but that's not my sermon tonight. But we just have, you know, this. It's disgusting, and it's one of those things. I always have trouble trying to figure out how somebody that's been ordained as a preacher or ordained as a deacon and then ends up there. I don't know how that can transpire, but it does. It does more times than it ought to. Probably more times. If we knew how many times it really does, it would probably really bother us. All right, let's see here. You notice I don't flow real good. We're reading Luke 12, 1 through 3. Just the last part of one. Beware of the heaven of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. So it's one of those things, you know, there's so many times we have stuff that happens and it's where, you know, you're the only one there. You know, there's nobody else is ever going to know this. But somebody else already does know that. God knows that. God knows everything that you've done or thought of doing. And, you know, it's we can hide it from ourselves, but it doesn't work. But you don't hide nothing from God. Someday we will be called to give an account of our lives and how we live them as Christians. And that's the day that we get to answer for everything. And now we got just one in Ecclesiastes 12:14, which we just did that last Wednesday. Everybody here last Wednesday? For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. I said that already, and I'm sorry. Improvising there and got ahead of myself. All too often we hear people justify their lost condition or their inactivity in the church by pointing out people in the church whose lives do not measure up to even the basic elementary standards of the Christian life. And God expects us to live such a life that if everything about us is known, it would not harm our Christian witness. And I don't know about you guys, but that is a hard struggle every day. How much greater will our judgment be if there is something about our lives as Christians which cause others to go astray or which serves as a stumbling block to people coming to Christ? That is one of But that's something I think about pretty often in everything I do, because I found as being a deacon, I don't have to worry about what my role is, because I get told that pretty regular by. Well, you usually get told when you do it wrong. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I noticed that when I first became a deacon that there was some of the older folks, which I'm kind of one of them now, but they would tell you, well, that's not really how you do that. And, you know, they was nice about it most of the time. And one of my favorite ones, it was a lady that I'd known my whole life, since I came to church here. Her name was Selma Thurman. She would call me, chew me out for 20 minutes to half an hour, And then as soon as she was done with that, she would ask me how Mom and Dad was doing and all the kids. You know, it was just, she had it on her mind and she would give it to me. That's before me and Mike figured out how to do call forwarding and get them sent to Carl's house. I love you too, man. All right, James 1, 22 through 25. Prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if everyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. One who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. But as Christians, we are responsible, like I said, for acting upon the teachings we receive. And I thought about that for a while. Anytime we come to church, we're receiving some kind of teachings. You know, it may be in Sunday school class. We learn a lot of stuff in our Sunday school class. And most of it is out of the Bible. our teacher's writing his own Bible, so sometimes we have to check it pretty close. But he's very sincere and he's very good. And I'm not just saying that, Roger. But we need to understand that in the eyes of God, it is a sin when we fail to apply his teachings to our lives in a positive attitude, in positive action. Told you I couldn't read. All right, here I got another little story here. I'm just going to wing this one. We'll see how it works out. Whew. I'm really getting hot up. I'll have to be good. I couldn't take hell. That wasn't even that funny, really. But as a young preacher, he ran into the grocery store because he had needing to pick up a few things, and he was in a hurry, he was late. So he goes through the checkout counter, and the girl checks him out and hands him his change, and he grabs it and his groceries he's bought and heads out to the car, throws the stuff in there, gets ready to stuff the money in his billfold, and he realizes that the girl gave him too much change. And he thought, oh man, I don't have time for this. So he decides there's one of three things he can do. He can either take it back in and tell the girl that she made a mistake and give him too much change and he'll be late for his next appointment, or he could come back by after that appointment and take care of it then, or he could just forget about it because it happens every day, you know, stuff like that. So finally he decides he's got to do it now, no matter what. So he takes it back in, goes up to the girl and says, I'm sorry, but you accidentally gave me too much change a while ago. And she said, she's standing there, looked at him, big tear rolling down her cheek, and she said, no, I didn't. I did that on purpose. He goes, what? She said, yeah, I was at your church Sunday. You was preaching about how, as a Christian, you got to be an honest person. I was just seeing if you really believed that. And, you know, that could happen to us easily, maybe not giving us extra change, but somebody just doing something to kind of just to see how we react. And, you know, our reactions sometimes say more about us than anything we can stay out of our mouth, which that's an issue I have. That's why my wife don't sit by me at basketball games. I told her I wouldn't embarrass her. But many people do not realize that the reason they are failing to grow as Christians is that they are failing to apply the elementary principles to their lives. And they was talking about here in an earlier century, there was some people put a large boulder in the middle of the road, and as the citizens would walk down the road, they'd have to go around the boulder off in the ditch, and they would all just grumble and say, well, somebody ought to take care of that. So finally one day there's a guy walking down there, and he saw it, and he thought, well, he just broke him a limb off the tree and stuck under the rock and pried it up, rolled it off in the ditch. When he rolled it out, there underneath it was a bag and a note. And I'm going to read what it said because I already forgot. Under the rock was a small bag with a note. The man read as follows: thank you for being a true servant of the kingdom. Many have passed this way and complained because of the state of the problem and spoken of what ought to be done, but you took the responsibility upon yourself to serve the kingdom instead. You're the type of citizen we need more of in this kingdom. Please accept this bag of gold that travelers have traveled, traveler after traveler have walked by simply because they didn't care enough about the kingdom to serve. And how many bags of gold are we missing every day simply because we don't bother to get involved in serving our heavenly kingdom? Which, I mean, they're not talking about just picking up a bag of gold. You know, it's we pass a lot of things that blessings by not getting involved in things. And now we're reading Hebrews 5:12-14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And I can remember when I was younger that I'd hear talk about milk and solid food, you know, as far as it out of the Bible, and I really never did understand that till I'd say, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Then one day, you know, it just kind of, when it's kind of hit you like that rock, and you kind of think it's, you know, that makes a lot of sense. It's just, if you're drinking milk all the time, you're not really growing any stronger. You're surviving. But when you get into the solid food, that's when you can mature and become a real asset to your church and your community. But we go to Sunday school, worship, prayer meetings, revival. When we go, God expects us to apply those teachings and principles to our lives. And as Christians, we are responsible for using our talents and abilities in God's as God intends. And we're going to we already read Mark 25. That was the last one we had on the first part. Why do we have talents, abilities, gifts that offer that others do not possess? Simply because God has given them to us to be used in the accomplishment of His will. If we prove to be faithful and responsible with the with that which God has given us, God will enable us to do even more. If we fail to utilize the gifts and abilities God has given us, He will take them and give them to others who will be faithful. We are responsible to faithfully serve God as He directs and equips us. Faithfulness results in reward and further opportunities for blessings. Unfaithfulness only brings loss. Man, sweat dripping off. Oh, I lost a page. And favorite part. Conclusion. Got sweat dripping all over my papers up here. Christian life is a life of responsibility. Responsibility is not something to be afraid of. Instead, it is a way to show our love for God and others. It is a stairway to personal growth, and it opens the door for tremendous blessings. As a Christian, have you been faithfully exercising the responsibilities that are yours? Which I'm just asking myself this same question too, you know. Understand, you cannot pass them on to others. You cannot excuse yourself from them. And at some time, you will give an account to the Lord for how faithful you fulfilled those responsibilities. Which, you know, I think if you're in the line behind me, might as well bring a chair because you're going to be there a while. Because like I said before, you'll notice I don't use real good English, proper grammar. I'm getting better though. But I don't know where I was at now. Let me rewind. Was you? I need a fan. But I told everybody before I was saved when I was 11. But my life after that, my life was, I had a good life my whole life. I was raised in a Christian family. We was a good Catholic family. We wasn't Catholic, but there was eight of us kids, so everybody always thought we were Catholic. But I was raised in a good Christian family. My dad read the Bible readings every night before we went to bed when we were kids. You went to church every time the door was open. And when I got to be an older teenager and even a young adult, I rebelled quite a bit. I've done things in my life that all I'll say is that God's forgiven me for them. But I paid a price for a lot of those things. But it's one of those things I always... Anything I ever did, I always knew I was doing wrong. It was indwelled in me from the time I was little that, you know, as used to, they always had the cartoons with a little devil sitting on one side and a little angel sitting on the other side. Well, that's kind of how I felt most of the time because I knew some of the stuff I was doing was in entirely wrong, but I did it anyway. But that's, I haven't done any of that for, it's been all a good 3 or 4 weeks. But no, it's been, how long ago did we become deacons, Mike? Because I haven't done it since then, I honestly. That's been a while, hadn't it? Huh? Is that what it was? I don't remember. I mean, I remember, but I don't know the date. Is it 99? I should ask the secretary. But, no, I had to ask a lot of forgiveness before. I was asked by Charles Brown about becoming a deacon, but I had to do a lot of soul searching, a lot of on my knees asking for forgiveness for stuff I had never ever settled up with. And one of the things that really bothers me was a while ago when I was talking about stumbling blocks. I feel like, you know, how many people saw the way I was acting, and that kept them from you know, making a commitment to follow Jesus. I feel like if things I have done that did that, that makes me responsible for that. You know, it's kind of like, it's almost like putting a death sentence on somebody. You know, it's hard. I mean, you can't dwell on it all the time because it'll completely consume you and destroy you. But you know, it's something to think about. You can't go back and change the past, but you can change it from here on. You can straighten. You don't have to. You can change the way you act to people, the way you treat people, and you know it's easy to be nice to somebody as to be grumpy to them. And if you're nice to them, you might have to, you know, you might have a flat tire when you get out in the parking lot, and that guy might be the one that helps you change it. If you grump at him, then he may be the one that stuck a hole in your tire. It just happens. I never did do that either. That was my little brother. But we won't talk about family.